Thinking about taking your church's streaming video to the next level? Or maybe you just want to learn a little more about some future possibilities? Well, we're breaking it all down with the best practices and some essential tools with today's guest, next on the Church Solutions Podcast.
It's the Church Solutions Podcast, brought to you by StreamingChurch.tv. The Church Solutions Podcast is all about helping you and your church with technology and other resources for your life and ministry. Now, here are your hosts, Steve Lacy and Phil Thompson.
It's another episode of the Church Solutions Podcast. This is episode number 464. My name is Phil Thompson.
And I'm Steve Lacy.
Steve, we have a guest today, but before I introduce our guest, how does my hair look?
What's funny is you always ask me that question before to try to get me laughing, and now it makes you laugh. So
yeah,
that's
kind
of funny.
Well, now we're using like, if anybody's noticed, if you're watching this on video, I mean, a lot of people are, it's audio, Church Solutions Podcast, but we kind of have a new deal there. Riverside is what it's called. And Michael Gray's behind the scenes producing this, but it gives us a little countdown on the video, you know, so it'll go 5, 4. So now what I'm trying to do is you know, go at my hair look okay. All right. So enough of that foolishness. Let's just get into our thing today. So before we do that, though, let me also say that we have a webinar coming up. And it's March 18th, so you can sign up now if you're listening to this webinar before March 18th, and you can go to webinar.streamingchurch.tv. I'll say that again, but the webinar is called, let me put my glasses on because, you know, want to get this right, the webinar is called Church in the Virtual World, Unlock the Power of Remote Production. So we have a friend of ours who's actually done a webinar with us in the past, and he's done podcasts with us. His name is Stephen Haywood, and Stephen Haywood is a lot of fun. He's got a lot of bells and whistles, and so if you go to a webinar or even a podcast we've done in the past and you do video, you'll see he demonstrates a lot of things that he can do. So you can sign up for this at webinar.streamingchurch.tv, and even if you can't make it, sign up anyhow, because that way you'll get a recorded version of it. But if you do watch us live, you can do some Q&A, interact with us a little bit. So it's March 18th, it's 12 noon Eastern time, and it's webinar.streamingchurch.tv. And Stephen Haywood is with PTZ Optics, and he's going to talk a lot about a thing called Hive, H-I-V-E. It's a cloud-based video production platform that actually allows users to manage their PTZ cameras from anywhere in the world. And we'll talk a little more about that as time goes on here.
Yeah. This reminds me of our pastor was, I was setting him up with something along many years ago, and he was assuming it was remote camera operators and somebody driving his service. And it was just maybe 2 years ago, but I was like, that doesn't exist. There is no remote camera stuff going on or available, and you know, kind of explain what we were doing. But now it is available. So yes.
Yeah. So check out the webinar March 18th. And again, it's webinar.streamingchurch.tv. And if you feel like it, check out our past webinars. So we got, and you just go to streamingchurch.tv/webinar, right?
Yes.
All right, good. I always get these things mixed up. All right, so without further ado, let's introduce our guest today. We're going to have a lot of fun with him as well. We've known him for a long time, although I guess this is his first time he's actually been on our podcast. We were on one of his shows many years ago. He hails from the greater Ottawa metropolitan area, and he's the vice president of marketing at Epiphan Video. And he brings a ton of skills. He brings a lot of technical and creative experience to his work, and they've described him as a big picture thinker and skilled communicator. And we're going to put him to a test on that today. But his focus is really, well, he's got a lot of things, but customer focus is a big part of his deal with Epiphan products, their services, their communication. So please welcome to the Church Solutions Podcast, George Birchall. George, how are you today?
Hey. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to talk to you guys. We have a lot in common, and we're both desperately trying to understand, you know, what people care about in this industry and learn from them. So I think we'll talk about a lot of that today.
Yeah, good. All right. So we got a few questions lined up. Steve and I will talk about that. Steve, go ahead. You want to jump in here?
I mean, let's start off with not everybody some people are going to go, oh, Epiphan, I know about them and I know what they do. But there's probably a lot of people out there that are listening and like, Epiphan, what? How? What's their place in the world here with regard to my church? Tell us about Epiphan.
Sure. Yeah. Well, even though your customers might not know who we are, and that's sort of by design and that we run in the background, but I guarantee you that they have been exposed to some of the outcomes of our technology. So we create streaming and recording hardware is what we're best known for, which means if you're watching a live stream of any kind, whether it's in a house of worship or otherwise, there's a good chance that we've had a little bit of a role in that. So you guys know us because we've worked with you for a long time, right? Streaming to your platform.
Yeah.
But our roots are kind of crazy, actually. Like, we started out creating equipment used for space. So aboard the International Space Station, you'll still find some of our equipment. It's used around video capture and all of these really cool mission critical applications. But since that 23 years ago, I think, which is astounding, we've moved into all of these spaces around us today, like churches, like government buildings, like the, you know, event spaces in your community. So we're kind of everywhere, but you won't see us unless you go looking in closets and racks of gear.
So let's be a little more specific about this. I mean, with regard to, you mentioned you guys manufacture gear. What kind of gear? It's video kind of gear. What? Tell us about the product line.
Of course. Yeah. Well, for people who are trying to do live streaming, like in a church or a house of worship, there's a lot of ways to do that. You can use software like OBS. You can use a phone if that's what you want to do. But we have a lot of people come to us because they're looking for something that's a little bit more professional. Maybe they have professional audio inputs they want to bring in, like XLR signals from a mixer. And maybe they have two or three cameras they want to bring in and they want to do some switching and they want to do streaming and they want to record all of that. That's what our bread and butter product line would help them do. So it's called Epiphan Pearl, and you have different flavors of it, small, medium, large ones. If you want to bring in six cameras and do 4K and do chroma key, we offer that. But for a lot of churches when they're starting out, they just want a really high quality live stream from their facility to somewhere in the cloud, like your service. We can help them make that very easy.
Okay.
What are the common mistakes? Pastors listen to this, tech people listen to this podcast. What would you say are the most common mistakes churches make when it comes to selecting video equipment, and how can they avoid it?
Well, I mean, mistakes is one way to look at it. I kind of look at it as almost necessary mistakes. Like, you have to figure out that your network stinks by having a bad network experience. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of hard to avoid these pitfalls. I wish I could just tell people, go straight to our solution. It's going to solve all your problems. But inevitably they go, you know what? I got an idea. I found this tool on the internet that's going to work for me. It's called, you know, streamingsoftware.com or something like that. And they'll use that. So people tend to start out with very homemade solutions where they glue a bunch of things together. And then they realize a couple of things. They can't teach anybody how to use it. That's usually the biggest mistake. They make something that only they can use, or that only they or their very technical associate can use. And then they want to teach it to a volunteer or somebody else on their team. And they realize, I built this, you know, rocket ship of a system that I can't train anybody to use. So that's, I find, the biggest, I wouldn't say mistake, but learning curve that they have to go through that we see over and over.
You mentioned something that kind of, I mean, just was near and dear to our heart, which is maybe we're just from the same side of the fence or something here. You talked about people's network, and a lot of times our churches and such will have issues. And the first thing they look at is either equipment or that streaming provider or these other things that are, you know, is failing me. And they reach out to us usually, and we usually will go and say, let's look at your network. And
it's question. Yeah.
Same. Yes. Yeah. We're like, oh, I think we found the problem. It's not the fact that your streaming is buffering because the streaming provider is no good. It's your stream is buffering because your network connection isn't any good. And it's a famous line we hear. It goes, well, I pay for, 20 megabits per second up or 200 megabits per second up or whatever. And I'm like, well, let's run a test. You know, it's always kind of interesting.
Or are you sharing that network with everybody in your congregation? You know, that's another one we see, right?
Yeah.
Are you using Wi-Fi when they think they're just assuming Wi-Fi is going to be as reliable as a wired Ethernet connection? There's a lot of pitfalls there.
Yeah. Well, sure. Since we're talking network here, I want to jump ahead. I always try to jump ahead of Steve here because he's always got a question. So I look at his video and if he starts to open his mouth, I jump in real fast.
There you go.
So he can't get the question. But since we're talking network here, NDI, right? NDI, and it's been around for a while. But in fact, I was just talking to one of our customers that's starting to use it. But tell me a little bit about the benefits of using NDI. First of all, what is it for new people or people like me that just can't remember? How does that work with Epifan?
Sure. You know, traditionally, if you want to connect a camera to a streaming and recording device like our products, you'd use an HDMI cable or you might use an SDI cable. And these are very common, just hardwired one-to-one connections. And they work great. But they have a few drawbacks. And one would be that if you have a camera way at the back of that church, that could be, you know, 200 feet. And those HDMI cables don't like going 200 feet. They're not, you have to get other equipment to make them go that distance. Or maybe you just literally, there is no physical connection between the back of the church and the front of the church where you can run that wire. Whereas there's probably network cable run throughout that facility if it's relatively new. And that's the benefit of NDI, is that instead of needing a dedicated video cable just to run that video signal, you just plug your camera into the network. So just the little network port that you'd see all over your church, you plug it in there, and then wherever your streaming encoder is at the other end of that church, it can receive that signal over the network. So that's the basic principle of NDI, and the benefits are, you know, it helps you solve those physical constraints more easily. And there's some other ones that get, you know,
what's the downside though? I mean, there's a downside to this. I mean, what if you have a poor network?
Yeah, you can congest your network with it because it is sending a lot of data over that network. So you might not have a robust enough, like a big enough pipe to send all that data across. So that's going to be a downside. And then you have, like, NDI is sometimes kind of funny in that it doesn't work 100% of the time. Maybe it works 99.5%, but there's that little chance that your Epifan product or whatever it is you're doing to stream might not see that camera at the other end. So it's not as guaranteed as an HDMI cable, which is going to work pretty much 100% of the time unless it's broken. You never really have a connectivity issue. It's just, whereas NDI, there's sometimes like what they call discoverability issues or network congestion things that can be, it's a little bit more finicky, I would say.
If I have a camera that's, you know, it's got HDMI and it's got SDI, and maybe it's a little older, but I want to roll over with everything over to NDI. Do I need to buy an NDI based camera, or are there adapters?
Sure. You can adapt your old technology with a little NDI bridge that will convert, you know, your SDI signal into an NDI signal. And if you buy a camera tomorrow, there's a good chance it's going to be NDI capable.
But where it'll have an Ethernet connection to the camera as well as an HDMI?
Yep. And then the other thing is, it's probably what they call PoE, which is power over Ethernet, which again, it means you don't have to run another power cable. If you've got a camera mounted up on a pole somewhere or up on a pillar, like, it's one less cable to manage. So that's another thing we see a lot of people getting excited about, is the PoE, power over Ethernet capabilities.
Right. I'll jump in for Phil. Getting back to your equipment, you mentioned, you know, hardware encoders and video mixers and that sort of thing. Your primary product line is hardware that includes both of those, right? Or do you sell separate devices for just video mixing? Or tell us a little bit more.
Sure. I'd say that the two most common applications that we would sell into when it comes to House of Worship is, we sell something called a Pearl Mini. Now, I've got one here, but you won't hear it, so I'm not going to show it to you. But it comes with a big touchscreen on it. And you can set this device up so that you connect all your cameras to it, you push all your audio into it, so that anybody in that congregation, whether it's a volunteer or someone who, you know, you'd be able to teach in 5 minutes, they can come in and push start streaming. So it's got a big touch screen, which you can lock down with a button that says start streaming or start recording. So you can make it very simple to start a broadcast, so to speak. And then from there, you can do camera switching if you want to do it. Like if you have a, maybe you have a picture-in-picture layout that you want to build where you have, you know, presentation plus camera feed, or you've got a three camera setup and you want to switch between them, you can do all of that from the touchscreen of the device. So that's like one version of what we would sell into, sort of an all-in-one production system, but for a little bit more of a lightweight setup. And then another one is if you just need a really good streaming device, we have a single channel product called Pearl Nano, where you just, maybe you have a switcher already. Maybe you have this whole Ross production switch system, where you're a full-on broadcaster, but you need a really reliable hardware encoder. We would sell you a single channel hardware encoder like Pearl Nano that can just send your stream up to the cloud really easily.
Pack on this NDI a little bit. You were talking about running all your cameras and all your audio into the Pearl Mini. Or the Pearl Nano. The Mini is the one that's the key one. Is there a solution in the audio space that is NDI based?
There is something called, there's all kinds of AV over IP protocols. So the answer is yes, there is.
Okay.
It's not quite as ubiquitous as the NDI side of things. And I haven't heard about it as much in the House of Worship space, but there's something called Dante Audio, which you'll hear more and more people talking about. So we do seem to be trending in that direction, Steve, where people are looking to put more of their audio and their video onto the network.
And if the traditional route is what, running coax, or how do you go from a mixing board that, you know, at our church, we have a sound booth in the back of the worship area, and then we do all our streaming from a room that's in the church. And so we run the sound from the soundboard over to our streaming room where we're doing video switching and audio mixing and all of that stuff.
Yeah, it's a little bit easier with audio because it's not as much data, right? But it is sent just over wire, the same as video signals, and then XLR connections into your system.
Okay.
Doesn't seem to be as much of a pain point. I don't hear people talking about it as much, even though you just laid out the case where it's very similar. I don't know, maybe you guys hear about it more, but I don't hear a lot of people complaining about the audio routing where they do kind of on the video side.
Okay.
We've
got a mix in our audience that, you know, some are using OBS or using computer-based encoding software. Why would one, and Epiphan's obviously 100% hardware based, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Give us some arguments for each.
Sure. I mean, I think a lot of people will start on the software side, and that's a great place to learn because you can learn about all these technologies and figure out what works. So I would never discourage somebody from going down that road. But what we find is that people, when, like I mentioned, they want to train somebody else how to use that system, it's usually a bit complicated. And then there's two other things. It's not as reliable. Like, computers do a lot of things, and that is their benefit and their curse, which means you're suddenly in a stream and it starts to do something else and you're going to run into performance issues. So in terms of general reliability, they're not nearly as reliable as a dedicated appliance like an Epiphan product, which all it does is stream and record video. So when reliability becomes a concern, that's where you get into wanting hardware. And then the last thing is, if you want to be able to look into that device when you're not in the same space as that device, let's say you're at home on a Sunday and somebody else is there doing that, well, that's a huge advantage for an Epiphan product because you can just log into it remotely, see what's going on, configure it, and troubleshoot it. And that's something that's, you know, you can do that on a computer. It's just not quite as plug and play. So,
you know, it's interesting.
For that. Yeah.
When we first got into this, or at least when I first got into it, I guess 2008, 2009, Michael Gray, who's producing this, can relate to this. We had a, was it tele? Well, tele,
TriCaster.
TriCaster, yeah. And Steve, of course, Steve was there too. And we used the TriCaster. And then one day, I think we had a lightning. In Arizona during monsoon season, we get, you know, some storms that come in here, and we had a lightning strike, I think, or something, and it blew out something in the Telecaster. And so then we tried to get it fixed, and if I remember correctly, Michael, you can and clarify this, but they told us, oh, we're sorry, your product is out of date. We don't make that anymore. And and then from there, and we jimmy-rigged it somehow. We did something to make it work.
We did, yeah. I think we used the parts that were still working.
Yeah.
And yeah, this would have taken us way back. This was back in...
It's got to be...
Flash Media Live Encoder days.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And so I always was kind of... I would always tell our customers from there on out, I use software, you know, use Flash, or when Flash went away, Wirecast, and then a vMix was on the scene, and OBS was there, I guess, too. But now, at least you'll probably be happy to hear this, George. Now, I really recommend hardware encoders. I mean, as you just said, software is okay. It's fine in like something like OBS, which is free open source, you know. And even vMix, we've had vMix people on here before. But what you're saying, I think, makes a lot of sense. And the prices, I think, have gone way down overall for hardware encoders.
Exactly. And we have people using both, where they'll do a production in vMix, but they don't want that same computer to carry the load of doing a live stream, which is intensive on a computer. So they do all their production in vMix, and then they'll send it out to an Epiphan device to do the streaming and the recording side of things. So there's every flavor of this kind of setup.
So let's talk just ballpark pricing kind of things when we're talking about some of the hardware.
Sure. So
for... Go ahead.
Yeah, our Pearl Nano is about $2,000, and that will get you just a really reliable. You can do a custom layout or whatever you want, and stream that up to wherever you need it. And you could send out multiple streams, so you could stream it to five places at the same time if you want. And then you record everything on that device as well. And then you go all the way up to something like a Pearl 2, which I think is around $8,000, $8,500. I don't know if you're looking that up in the background, Phil, but it's somewhere around that range. But that would give you six inputs. It is a beast of a device. If you need to record all of that as well, it will record every camera you have on site. So for a beefy production, something like Pearl 2, we'll see. And then the lightweight ones, you've got Pearl Nano. And they all have cloud integration as well, so that you can manage them from the cloud and make sure everything's going okay.
I wasn't familiar with how long has the cloud management aspect been in place?
It's honestly been building momentum, especially through COVID, of course, when suddenly the remote side became really important. So it's been around since probably 2 years before COVID, but it wasn't essential until then. And now it's just a requirement, like, oh, I'm going to need a way to log into this thing when I'm not.
Right. So if I have one of your devices and I've got a volunteer, you know, running things or whatever, and then there's some sort of urgent deal, they can call the guru, right? And then
get
online. And,
yeah.
And we've been very impressed. We've been working with you guys for several years. I don't know how many Phil probably knows.
Yeah.
For a very long time. And what kind of set you guys apart in our mind was we could reach out. There were people that answered the phone. There were, you know, you didn't go to this black hole of put in a ticket and we'll call you in February, you know,
next year
or something. So are there instances, do you guys run into situations where somebody has an issue and you guys remote in to help things out as well?
That happens all the time. Yeah. Either we're looking at the logs of the device or they invite us to join on their team and we can troubleshoot. Yeah. Your point is that it's not only great for customers to have this remote access, it means customer success and customer support is way easier for us because we can always just jump in there and help. Yeah.
Gives you visibility into, because I mean, we do this all the time as well.
Okay.
We drive blind a lot of times where we're talking and they're going, you know, we're walking them through their streaming equipment or their camera or whatever. And, you know, we can't see what's going on. And then all of a sudden they'll like hold up a phone or something. It was like, oh my gosh, you know, everything, you can't do it that way. You know, take the bailing wire off of the back of the camera, you know.
There's no way to draw a line in the sand on this stuff too. Like you can't say, I'll give you this whole platform, but I won't help you with, you know, there's 15 dominoes before they get to you on a stream, right? Like there's the network, there's the cameras, there's the audio. Like, so it is tricky for you, I'm sure, and for us to figure out, how do we support them? And we generally just try to support them as far as we can, as long as we can. So we're fortunate enough to be able to do that.
Yeah, that's good.
It's really tough to, I mean, I encourage Phil and others all the time. They'll get on the phone and then you're completely blind. But yes. Then you get, let's get in a Zoom meeting. Let's start sharing screens. Let's start. And then you get it figured out so much faster.
Oh, it's a delay.
Yeah.
I had somebody call me. I was actually on lunch and I was away from my office here. And the guy called two or three times. He's a really great guy, good customers. And they called two or three times. I'm like, all right, I'm going to pick this up. And so in the background, I hear two or three other people trying to configure something. They set up an extra account with us and they're like yelling in the background. I'm like, what credentials are you using? And they got the wrong credentials and it was just a mess. And I just thought to myself, but he actually got it figured out. But yeah, it's tough, as Steve was saying, and you too, George, is driving blind. But
it's also your product research too. Like I'm on calls with these people. I mean, it's not my day-to-day job being on calls, but I'll jump in now and again and talk to people for different reasons. And I'll learn like, you don't know about the graphics inputs on Perl? Like, let me tell you about that. And then they tell me six ways they're going to use it. And they give us all these ideas. So it's good for the business just to have as much contact as you can with your customers, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's easy. Which really, I think, sets you guys apart from just about the people in your space. It's usually really hard to get with somebody that can actually help you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it helps when you're like, it is the focus of our business. It's not like one division of 15. It's what we do. So it means we kind of have to care a little bit more than the Sonys of the world, for example. Not to pick on Sony. I'm sure they're great, but they don't really have the time and space to get
it. Oh, yeah. I mean, we deal with somebody, and I'll just use their initials, Black Magic, and never mind. But I have a pet peeve with Black Magic devices. But anyhow, all right. So we're running out of time here, but let me ask a question I regret. I'm probably going to regret asking, but I get this occasionally.
Great. Looking forward to this one.
4K and 8K. Do you see that as a trend with churches?
No. Good answer.
I see it. It's funny. It's amazing. We have this conversation every year. We've been talking 4K for a decade. And we have people who decide to commit their entire pipeline to 4K. So it's not necessarily that they're just like, we decided to get this 4K platform. So therefore, I better get network that can support 4K. So therefore, I better get cameras and I better, like, this is the downstream effects of some decision along the way where they decided, we're going to get 4K one part, so then they get the rest of it. But then I ask them if they're actually broadcasting in 4K, and usually the answer is no, because they just don't have enough of a benefit to deal with it. So we still sell a lot of 4K. It's important for a lot of people, but the real world benefit doesn't, especially in the streaming space for things like WorshipStream, it just doesn't seem to be there enough to make people really care.
I think there's hype around certain things,
Well, it's the same with NDI. You're going to get all these people asking about NDI, right? Because it's interesting and it solves a problem, but it takes a while before it becomes a big enough problem to.
All right. So
is that the same with you guys? What's your story there on that?
With 4K stuff?
I
strongly discourage it.
it's kind of like what you said. I think it's largely somebody heard about it. Oh, we need to go. 4K is the cool thing now, or 8K is the cool thing. So we need to jump on that bandwagon. They really don't know what they're asking for. And they just know that, we got to go 4K. And they're like, you start walking through in order to broadcast in 4K. That is an incredible jump for a church to go from, what they're sending out 2 to 4 megabits per second.
To
be able to have that kind of upload. And then it just trickles down even to the viewers, So those watching the stream, not everyone's equipped to have view the stream in that. And the benefits, I think, are almost negligible unless you're broadcasting to a big stadium screen or something or a big, because most people are watching, half the people are watching on their phone.
They're on their phone.
Yeah, we see the application for it's kind of weird places. Like if you're pushing content up to a display in the room, they want it for that because 4K content on a display will look really good, like sharing a presentation, that kind of thing. And sometimes for recording, they might want 4K just so they know they've recorded a great version. So then they can crop it. Like you guys can crop me out of this if you record in 4K and it'll look just fine, right? So there's a few advantages that are kind of peripheral to the broadcast that are interesting, but the actual stream part is, you're right, a bit negligible.
All right. Hey.
And half the people are watching on their phone, so it's completely wasted there.
Exactly. All right. So we're out of time here. And I do want to mention, I'll tease people that we are going to do a webinar with you in April.
Yes.
I mentioned the webinar we have with PTZ Optics March 18th, but we are going to do a webinar with you. So we'll talk about that after we're done here. But how can people get a hold of Epiphan?
So you can go to our website. If you can spell Epiphan, you can go to epiphan.com, and I'll let you figure that out. And then we're all over the place. Wherever you see technology being talked about around video, we're there. So we'll be at NAB later this month. I'll be on the show with the PTZ Optics people this Friday. So if you look at PTZ Optics Friday Worship, they're having a whole conference on Friday, which I think is free for anybody to join. So
yeah,
you can find me there as well.
All right, sounds good. Okay, I think we're done here.
Thanks.
George Birchall from Epiphan, been a great interview here. Thank you so much for your time today, George.
Thank you so much, Phil and Steve. Nice to see you guys.
Oh, yeah.
Good to have you. Yeah, absolutely. And thank you, Steve and Michael behind the scenes. I'm Phil Thompson. You can always get a hold of us. You can just go to streamingchurch.tv. And if you haven't subscribed to the Church Solutions podcast as of yet, why not? What are you waiting for? Just wherever you get your podcast, look for Church Solutions podcast, and you'll never miss an episode. And we're always open to your feedback. All right. As I said, I'm Phil. Please take care of yourselves. Thank you for the privilege of your time today. We'll catch you again on another episode of the Church Solutions Podcast.